Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
What in the Sam Hill is going on outside?
The wind is so aggressive right now.
Oh my gosh.
The tree outside of the studio, which typically is a good, 5-10 feet away from the window, is smacking the window.
Yeah, it's sideways.
Yeah.
And a really quick update before we get to Chief Meteorologist Brian Busby over at KMBC, because today is definitely a weather alert day. Please be weather aware. The National Weather Service is now reporting two people were injured by a tornado earlier this morning near Overbrook. And you can kind of tell it's just one of those weird days. The sky's a little green. The winds are blowing. But let's get straight to Chief Meteorologist Brian Busby over at KMBC now and try to figure out what the heck's going on. Hello, Brian.
Hello, Dana. Hello, Sam. How are you?
So good. I mean, it's a little rocky out there, but other than that, what happened in Overbrook? And that's about an hour, did you say, Sam, west of us?
West and south a little bit, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Closer down toward Osage and Douglas County. We had the storm system, and we had some thunderstorms that popped up during the overnight hours. We were going for two rounds, one that would happen for the morning rush, which is probably where that came from.
Yeah.
And then we still anticipate one that could affect some of the listening area later on this evening. And the system itself is still kind of out to our west. So until the front passes, we can't take rain totally out of the forecast. However, the models are all over the place. One model still thinks we have a chance of active weather. One model says we should be bone dry. So now it's just a matter of figuring out which horse to bet on. It is still very windy, even without the thunderstorms. I mean, the gusts are going to be up to 35, 40 miles an hour. So that's going to be something we're going to have to deal with, whether it's raining or not. But we still have the possibility of some more strong thunderstorms. I still think east and northeast of Kansas City, like on the Missouri side, more so on the Kansas side, and towards, say, Chillicothe, Kirksville, more so than down in the heart of the listening area.
Okay, so they're saying now, Brian, that the two people that were injured, that is an EF1, probably no surprise to you there. And for 20 minutes, that storm cut a 10-mile path north and northeast, hitting the town of Richland in far southeast Shawnee County. Several structures were damaged by the storm. It looks like some roofs blown off, barns down, that kind of thing. But I want you to remind everybody why it's important to pay attention to these alerts, because I just don't know that people in Overbrook saw this as an EF1 tornado kind of day.
Well, I think one thing you have to think about is the fact that, this is still April, and it's still normally only in the 60s. So if we're already at the high temperature for the day when you wake up in the morning, because, it's probably close to 70 degrees in the morning.
Yep.
We're, cracking 80. That should at least tell you something's weird. And you even mentioned it just at the beginning of your program, that kind of green sky that you saw earlier, the wind's blowing very strong. These are all telltale signs that it's not normal and Mother Nature's not happy. And so what she's going to do is to make it equalize and move the pendulum back the other way.
Yep.
Is she's going to create some strong thunderstorms to get it back where it should be in a hurry. And that's what's going to happen tomorrow. Going to be windy, no thunderstorms, but it's going to be closer to normal temperature-wise.
Good. All right. Well, I know you're busy, and thank you for the time. I'm going to tell you a quick story that will make you laugh. You know that a few times a year, all of the news mamas get together and we have dinner. And I got together with several of our colleagues last night that I've known for decades for dinner. And this is why you always want a meteorologist with you. Barb Porter, okay, formerly of Channel 5, was sitting right next to Katie Horner and looked in the corner of the restaurant at 18th and Walnut and said, "Oh my gosh, there's lightning over there." To which Katie replied, "That's a mirror, you ding-a-ling. The lightning is behind us." We all died laughing. I go, A, Katie's the only one here that knows what direction that is behind us. And B, yes, you just saw lightning in a mirror, not the same thing as lightning over there.
Did you make Babs order another round for
everybody? We did. We did. She goes, "Oh, that's a mirror." I go, "Yeah, you can tell because you can see your face below the lightning."
Yeah. Well played.
I love you, man. Be well. And if we need another update, reach out and we'll get you on later as needed.
Sounds good.
All right. Be well, my friend. 913-586-7798. I will ask this with Gus, 35 to 40 mile an hour. Is that when the trucking companies start pulling the truckers off the roads?
I don't know about pulling them off the roads, but definitely sending out an all call saying, please be more cautious, slow down if necessary. These wind gusts are what cause what I like to call the complementary lane change.
Yep.
Where if you're not paying attention, you don't see it coming up over the hill and you hit that valley, you might get a lane change. So
yeah,
make sure that you're paying attention and holding that steering wheel
tight. It wasn't near this windy when I drove in. It just wasn't. And then within a very quick amount of time, I was like, wait, what tornado? What? Where? What? What?
Oh, I was just working on my desk at home on my computer, which is about 10 feet from my patio door with the patio door open. When the storms picked up at about 10 o'clock this morning. And I knew they picked up because the wind was so aggressive that the rain was hitting my feet at my desk.
That is bad. All right. Scott will be back on Friday. Coming up, I want you to join us in the 3 o'clock hour. And if you're listening on podcast, that would be hour two today. There was a great op-ed in the Kansas City Star after hearing about the death of double murderer O.J. Simpson this week. The op-ed talks about everything that led up to the murders of Nicole Brown and Ronald Goldman. And the fact that it changed, and we're going to talk about this in the 3 o'clock hour, I don't know for better or for worse or if we're any better off now than we were, but it changed the way we view domestic violence in America, right? I didn't even have to have Sam pull the 911 audio of Nicole calling for help. It's just seared into my brain since that trial and the photos of her beaten over the years. And the op-ed is suggesting that it was this moment in America where people finally started to understand that domestic violence is not about socioeconomic status. And in fact, in some cases, that can make it worse when your partner is holding your livelihood above your head and his fame above your head and police are not responding in an appropriate manner the way they would today. And I do believe it would be very different if those 911 calls came in today than it was so many years ago. But we've got a guest coming on in the 3 o'clock hour from Hope House, who's going to talk about how that case specifically and everything we learned after her murder changed the way we look at domestic violence cases in America. We think about domestic violence cases in America, and not just for law enforcement, just for the public who maybe thought things like that don't happen in Brentwood.
Yeah, and it doesn't discriminate. And a lot of people thought that it, as you mentioned, only happens in the lower income
households. 100% does not. And we won't even get into the verdict, but I have always said, you know, there is a small percentage of the population that for whatever reason does not believe he is responsible for that, despite the bloody footprint that matched his shoe. At the end of the day, he was still a man who beat his wife. And I just did not blink when I heard about his death. Did not even blink. I said, good riddance. And if anything positive can come out of the horror that was that time in America, let's take a quick look back today and see, have things changed? Have they changed for the better? And what did that case do for other survivors of domestic violence? That's coming up in the 3 o'clock hour. We have much, much more straight ahead on Dana and Parks. Sam Stevie on the other side of the glass. Scott will be back on Friday. I am Dana Wright. Stick with us. Oh, do we have a story to unpack for you?
Welcome to Dateline.
Welcome to Dateline. I'm your host, Keith Morrison. Do you know Keith Morrison is now on the Calm app? You can, well, let me pull it up here because I've got the Calm app. You can now, and you've heard me say this on this very program, I would listen to Keith Morrison read a phone book.
Right, because nothing is more calming than being reminded of any and all the horrible crime stories that you watched over the years.
But, and he is the voice of Dateline. There is no two ways about it. His podcast, There's Something About Pam, is one of, by far, one of the most incredible podcasts I've ever listened to. It's got a Missouri connection to it. If you've never heard of The Thing About Pam or There's Something About Pam, it is a Keith Morrison. But if you go to the Calm app, and it's the only app, by the way, that I ever renew every year because it is not cheap, he is now narrating stories to put you to sleep. Here we go.
This is a story to tell around the fire. As the embers glow from orange into red, and a few licks of lazy flame still warm the dark.
I mean, like, there's literally no one that has a voice like that.
Does this smell like chloroform?
The minute you hear it, you're like, that's Dateline. That's the white-haired guy on Dateline. I think it's Keith Morrison. And now he's on the Calm app reading Calm stories, which is not what this next story that we're about to read is about. But if you want to fall asleep to Keith Morrison, talking about murder, you can do that on the Calm app for like $60 a year.
Bob Ross and the Tappy Tappy Tappy.
Little Happy Tappy. All right. They have studied the states with the most true crime anxiety, and I'm here to tell you, one of ours is on it toward the top, and I don't think that you guys are going to be surprised here. The team set out in this study to determine which parts of the country are the most impacted by true crime anxiety. They surveyed Americans in every state, in cities across the United States. They asked a variety of questions, from how often do you watch Dateline to how the true genre has impacted those that they questioned, and also safety precautions people now take based on the crap that we all consume when it comes to true crime.
Some of them installing security systems solely because of the true crime shows they have watched.
So nearly one in two Americans say true crime content has increased their anxiety. True crime content consumption has caused 78% of Americans to become more aware of their surroundings. The last she was seen was in the Target parking lot. I mean, we all have been consumers of this.
That was a real true crime story in
stuff,
Kansas City, by
right?
the way.
After consuming true crime content, 61% of Americans say they are more suspicious of other people. And then when you go all the way down and look at the list, this is where I'm concerned. The state of Kansas ranks fifth for the state with the most true crime anxiety. And then,
yeah, they broke it down. Into,
oh, wait, this is so bad.
Yeah, they broke it down into an anxiety score out of 100. Where do you think Kansas scored?
Which what was our total score?
We ranked fifth overall. We scored an 86.4 out of 100 in total anxiety.
Okay, so we come in at number five with 86.4, followed by, all the way up to number one, Nevada, Texas, Mississippi, and Louisiana's anxiety score was 99.0. Zero.
Missouri doesn't care, by the way. They came in 33rd overall with a 67.3 out of 100.
Okay, so here's my question. Why do you watch? And please don't pretend like you don't, because with Kansas coming in at number five, residents in Kansas are consuming an alarming number of hours of true crime content per week. I'm not going to say it. Yes, I would rather you guys guess on the text line at 913-586-7798. If you had asked me, Sam, what does the average person in Kansas City, I mean, how often are they watching true, like, investigative discovery or...
By the way, this is per week.
This is per week.
Yeah.
Or Dateline or any of those shows. If you had asked me before I read this, I would have said, like, 1.5 hours.
Okay. That
assuming that there are going to be some times that you're not consuming the content, and there are going to be times where you binge watch something on Netflix, which, by the way, is also a huge distributor of true crime stuff. They brought back Unsolved Mysteries, and it's one of their number one shows every single time they release it.
And it's fantastic.
All right, so I'm going to give you guys just 1 second to keep guessing. How many hours of content do you think residents of Kansas consume of true crime, your jaw is going to hit the floor.
From the text line, they don't care in Missouri because they create the true crime.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
All right, text line.
It is 6 hours per week.
Also from the text line, there's no such thing as an alarming amount of true crime watching.
Y'all, we have got to have a conversation. If you are consuming 6 hours of true crime per week. However, I say that with the complete full confidence and knowledge that my mother and her sister shatter that number in Mississippi.
Easily.
Shatter.
Oh, yeah.
Shatter.
Now, I've gone through spurts. It's not on a consistent basis, but I've gone through spurts where I have watched well over 6 hours of true crime content in 1 week. Now, I go weeks without watching it at all, but when I find a show that I'm hooked on, I will watch it until it's completely over.
So this last year in the New York Times, they actually wrote about this. Is true crime as a form of entertainment ethical? And I think most people would agree, if you really look at the formula that they are shoving down our throats in all of these shows, and it's a formula and it works.
Yeah.
Is it ethical? I think most people, if you're honest, would say no, because there are very real people and very real victims and very real names and families and lives that are shattered behind every single one of those headlines.
I think it depends on the approach, though, because some of them are, they almost seem like they're making a mockery of the crime. And then there's others, like Unsolved Mysteries, where they're actually trying to put the message out there that, hey, nobody knows what happened to this guy in this random city outside of Kansas City in Kansas. We need people
Your
to help.
Help
us figure it out.
Okay, so for Unsolved Mysteries, and I do believe the Alonzo Brooks case was reopened, or someone decided, hey, this is probably a hate crime. Let's please figure out who did this to him, because I think everyone in that town of Lacine knows. That's one case where you could say that genre was helpful. But I think in most just run-of-the-mill, hour-long, let's take a look back at how gruesome this was, and with the crime scene photos, I do think it's unethical. But I think they're making money off of it, and it works. And if we're consuming an average of 6 hours of that a week, they are going to package up and put out for consumption exactly what Americans want to watch. And I ask you this hour, why? Why are we so enamored with that specific genre of entertainment? It is graphic entertainment.
What was the show that highlighted Ed Kemper? I can't remember his exact name, but he was the guy who, I don't want to describe his crimes, but he was known for leaving people without heads.
And there was an entire show about it?
There was an entire show about it. And it was based on his story. It was, I think there was some fiction that played into it.
So they knew who he was. The crime has been solved. There's really no...
He was in prison for it.
Yeah, there's no reason to do this other than to... There's shock value of it.
But it was almost glorifying how shocking he was, because he would describe in detail what he did to these people and to them after he removed their heads.
If you watch, why do you watch? And I'm going to be honest here. I went back and watched the Ted Bundy documentary. I watched that docuseries I thought was very well done. Dahmer was one of the most popular shows.
Actors won awards.
Actors
because
of won
their...
an Emmy yeah. for his portrayal of Dahmer. Even though Jeffrey Dahmer is long dead, we know what he did.
How Why? Messed up it was.
And everybody flocks to it. I'm going to read this quote, and then we'll load up the phones at 913-586-7798. My sister was murdered 30 years ago. True crime repackages our pain as entertainment. Her name is Annie Nickel. She says, in the 1990s, you would have been hard-pressed to find someone who didn't know the name of my sister, Polly Klass. Annie was 6 years old when a stranger abducted the 12-year-old from her Petaluma, California bedroom in 1993. She says her face quickly became a fixture on nightly news. Her name featured prominently in headlines alongside fear-mongering about crime rates. News crews broadcast from our living room and remain camped out in front of our house. And in the next few years, she writes, true crime began to morph into the media obsession it is today. One might argue that this genre honors victims and those who solved or sought to solve the cases, she writes. However, as a survivor whose tragedy continues to be exploited by creators of true crime stories, I know the personal pain of this appropriation, as well as how coverage of these high-profile cases can contribute to broader injustices. And she cites the release of Dahmer in 2022. She said it caused profound distress among many family members of his victims who felt that the show was profiting from their pain.
It reminds them of it.
So why do we do it? Why do they release it? Why do we watch? 913-586-7798. We'll take your thoughts on that and your text straight ahead. You're listening to Dana and Parks.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
So residents in Louisiana, Mississippi, and Texas experience the most true crime anxiety, and Kansas, you come in at number five. Watching an average 6 hours per week.
By the way, somebody on the text line said, I watch true crime for 5 hours a day.
Ooh. So women, and this is according to an article in Vice, women are often the primary consumers of true crime and tend to view it as an educational tool, providing a framework on how to detect potential abusers and avoid dangerous situations.
And I understand that until you start looking under your car for somebody who's going to slit your Achilles with a knife.
Yes, and I'm going to come back to that. And my childhood specifically in the 70s, all of you who grew up in the 70s. Let's go to Ashley in Bonner Springs. Hey, Ashley.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, good. Go ahead.
So I do understand how it gives us anxiety. Because it's funny, because like Parking Wars, any type of drama-filled reality show gives me anxiety in general, but I'm still somewhat addicted to it. And with the crimes ones, the crime TV shows, like you said in that article, it is informative because like sometimes, I mean, well, I'll just say this, there's crazy out there in so many different forms that sometimes you don't even recognize that you could be putting yourself in adversity until you see someone, unfortunately, someone else's story. But the fact that, you know, it becomes a quote-unquote form of entertainment, that's the sad part about it. But it's still, it catches your attention. And for those people who are already kind of have a dark mind, unfortunately, I think that also gives them ideas or, you know, some things that they can play around with in their mind. But you still have that informative portion that is significant, especially to people like Kansas City, even though, no, our crime is not as high as what we think of Missouri, but we still have high crime over here.
Well, we do. And Ashley, we got a lot of weird stuff that happens here. I'm going to be honest. People always say, do you guys ever run out of things to talk about? I'm like, have you read the news here? No, we don't run out of things to talk about.
Now, do you find yourself falling victim when you watch a true crime series to being a little extra anxious?
It's been a while since I've binged anything. I did binge Unsolved Mysteries on the reboot on Netflix both seasons because some of those cases were from here. But I will tell you, my therapist has said that reporters are some of the most underdiagnosed when it comes to just the compound, I don't want to use the word trauma, but feelings that we go through from all of the crime that we have seen.
Right.
So it's not really on your TV, which is bad enough that you're watching, you know, the 6 or the 10 o'clock news and hearing that someone got killed. But as reporters, we were there and you see the families and you see the crime scene and you see those things. She actually mentioned this last week. She said they are one of the most underdiagnosed, underrepresented, under, when it comes to getting therapy, like all of that stuff, because you just kind of over the years think that that's part of your job. And I'm not a first responder, so I wasn't the one right there over the dead body, but it's still trauma if over years and years and years you were there.
Even in my time reporting thus far, I have noticed that my reaction to horrifying stories has changed. And I haven't even seen the bodies. I just write about it.
Oh, I was in Kansas City the other day and I was with a friend and I was just pointing out, oh my God, I'll never forget that. That's where they found so-and-so's body. I still remember the name. I still remember being there. And she's like, you know, that's not normal. That like, we're just passing a street and you mark this stuff by the bad stuff that has happened. So I don't think it's true crime that has done that to my brain. I think it was just a product of my, 18 years in television news. But you brought up specifically childhood, Sam, right before we went to break.
Yeah. And the Achilles slicers.
The Achilles slicer, mm-hmm, that we were all told, look under your car in the mall parking lot so somebody's not under there with a scalpel. And do you know there was never one documented case of that happening?
Correct.
Not one.
There's also never been a razor blade in an apple.
Nope. Not one
story.
Documented case, but we all remember that from our childhood. And I think for some of us who are my age or maybe a little bit younger and certainly 50 to 60 years old, we grew up with the missing children on the milk cartons. And there were two children kidnapped in Topeka. I still remember their names. I remember the flyers that were on the grocery stores. Like, have you seen this child? And I certainly remember Adam Walsh. When Adam Walsh disappeared, there were stories about that everywhere. And I remember as a child having anxiety over being taken from my parents.
Yeah.
And I don't know that my brother, 4 years younger than I did, processed that the same way.
Well, and I feel like that extends into adulthood, especially now as we hear about stories. Chelsea Smith, I believe, was her name, who got
Kelsey
Smith,
yes,
who got taken from the Target parking lot. And we hear about women who have extreme anxiety walking through parking garages by themselves at night. And I understand that fear because you are in that moment vulnerable.
Oh, I turn into a crazy person when I'm in a parking garage alone.
But if it gets to a point that you're having a panic attack, I mean, that's something that needs to be addressed.
But now I'm laughing because the phones are ringing, because the minute I brought up Adam Walsh, people my age are going to remember that. Like, I do think that we collectively, between the years of 1978, 79 into maybe the mid 80s, we had such a steady stream of our parents talking about that. And my grandmother would say, don't you go wander off in a grocery store because you know what happened to Adam Walsh. And I think he was taken from a Sears or JCPenney's, if memory serves. But we grew up kind of around that milk carton generation where the missing kids were placed on the milk cartons. And I saw something about this the other day. I don't know that that was effective at all, by the way. If you go back and look, it did more mental health harm than it did good bringing any of those kids back. Because I think, sadly, devastatingly, most of the kids that were, Eton Pates, I still remember that name. Most of the kids that were featured on the milk cartons were either never found or found deceased. And so when you talk about the anxiety when it comes to true crime, I think it dates way further back and they just didn't know to study it back then. I mean, if you had asked me in middle school, are you a freak about stuff like this? I would have been able to verbalize that in by age 12, that yes, I'm stressed out because of all of these things, because of the way it was presented to us as children and stranger danger and the identikits. I don't know if you guys remember that, where you would go with your parents and they would take your fingerprints. And that was somehow presented to us as to keep you safe.
Right.
Well, yeah. At some point you get educated enough that you're no. This isn't going to prevent someone from taking me. This is just going to identify me once you find me.
But where is that line between education to know that you need to have your head on a swivel and,
they crossed it.
Trauma.
I'm telling you, they crossed it. When I was growing up, they crossed it.
Because you have that anxiety, especially when you experience that trauma directly. But we're seeing that anxiety in people who have never even gotten close to experiencing that trauma. But they read about it all the time, or they watch it on Dateline, or, it's just an interesting.
I think they meant well when it came to missing and exploited children and all of those things. I really do think that they meant well, and they tried with Stranger Danger. They were trying to protect children, but I really do believe if you look back, people my age would say it did way more harm than good, when statistically the odds that you are going to be snatched off of a street, and I'm not saying it doesn't happen, my God, I was here and I covered Pamela Butler and the others, but statistically the odds of that happening are just so extremely low that I think Sam has a good point. Where is that line where you want the kids to be aware enough and not get in the car because some adult says, help me find my puppy, but not so aware that they're terrified to leave the house? And there was actually a case a few years ago where a man, I think it was in Overland Park or Olathe, legitimately could not find his dog, like legitimately could not find his dog, and was driving around looking and asked some kids, hey, have you seen my dog? And then that exploded into a kidnapping police report. Have you seen this truck? Like, we think this guy is trying to snatch children. And in fact, he was just looking for his dog. Let's go to Kathy and Lenexa. Hey, Kathy, go ahead.
Hey, just going back for a moment to the Nicole Brown, Ron Simpson's OJ thing. I lived in Brentwood at the time of the murder, but my best friend's little house was about half a block away from Nicole's. And what still shocks me today as I hear you guys talking about it is how we couldn't walk. Well, obviously, we didn't want to walk that path exactly with our children. We were taking them out in the stroller. But people came starting from day one, from all over L.A., obviously, and then eventually other parts of the country. And they would come and they would take photographs of themselves standing in the crime scene. And obviously, eventually, they roped all of that part
that
of Bundy.
Kathy, how old were you when that happened?
God, I want to say 30. Shoot.
Okay, you 30, were an adult. I was just trying to figure out, were you a child? I didn't want to ask how old you are now, but you were 32 when it happened.
So, I'm 62.
You were married, probably a young mother. I can't even imagine living next to something that, not only that gruesome, but where all the looky-loos are coming in and taking photos. And they've re-entered that home now, so it does not look any, I can't believe they didn't knock it down, but they've re-entered it, so it doesn't look at all like it used to.
No, we totally thought they've got to just, I mean, and granted, it's attached to other units on either side of it, but the blood, I'm being gross, I guess, the blood went down the sidewalk all the way, let's just say it was 15 to 20 feet from her front door and the little porch that was there to the sidewalk with the, you know, the wooden, kind of like I'd say 6-foot fence and an archway.
God. Kathy, do you remember how long before they roped it off, like the entire block?
Okay, the yellow tape was out starting at day one, which didn't stop anybody from, you know, coming and getting as close to it as they could. But then eventually, because it was so hard for the neighbors that lived there, it was hard for anybody of us that we had to drive onto Bundy, you know, off of Wilshire or whichever, you know, main street we were coming from. And they just, I don't know how long. I want to say 3 weeks.
Oh, my gosh. And I'm sorry we're up against a break, Kathy. I've got to get to break. But that seems like just for crime scene contamination purposes, would have been something they would have done much, much sooner. And we'll get into that and the impact of that case a little bit in the 3 o'clock hour with our friends from Hope House. The number here is 913-586-7798. Sam Stevie, I am your host, Dana Wright. Today, Scott will be back on Friday. You are listening to Dana and Parks. Welcome back to Dana and Parks. A couple of stories to pass along to you. Not looking to make these a topic, but wowza. They are now saying that the object that crashed through Florida home roof, was about a month ago, was from the space station, according to NASA.
Space junk.
NASA confirmed this week that a mystery object that crashed through the roof of a Florida home last month was a chunk of space junk from equipment discarded at the ISS.
Go buy a lottery ticket.
How big? Wait, the cylindrical object that tore through the home in Naples was subsequently taken to the Kennedy Space Center in Cape Canaveral for analysis. Apparently, it was a metal support used to mount old batteries on a cargo pallet for disposal. The pallet was jettisoned from the space station in 2021, and then one piece of this metal, weighing 1.6 pounds, 4 inches tall, roughly 1.5 inches wide, destroyed Alejandro Otero's home.
Yeah, so it is a very dense piece of metal that apparently did not take to the heat very well because it is now a melted round piece of metal when it was a very sharp-edged cylinder. It's about the size of, you know, a rock that you could hold in your fist.
Yeah, not something you would want, I don't know, no. Slamming through your house?
It's one hefty piece of hail, let's say.
And then we got to have a discussion, folks, about Sporting Kansas City and the behavior of some of the fans this last week. A Colorado man has been charged after allegedly rushing the pitch during that match.
By the way, they're called pitch invaders.
Oh, my God. Featuring a crowd of 72,610. They are called pitch invaders. I have never heard of this.
Mm-hmm.
Is it true that three different people rushed down there?
It was either three or four. I know that two of them were children, which typically get away with it because you're not going to be thrown against the ground aggressively by his bodyguard. By the way, if you ever watch Lionel Messi play soccer, there is a guy with a very large beard who sprints up and down the sideline wherever Messi goes. And he is there simply because this happens all the time. He is there ready and waiting to see some pitch invader who's going to get down there and try to get a selfie with Messi so that they can hopefully sell it or something.
His name is Yacine Chueco and was forced into action in Kansas City on Saturday because this ding-a-ling ran down there to try to get a photo with
Messi. Get the photo. He succeeded in his attempt to get the photo.
It says in the closing minutes of the back and forth contest, Messi's bodyguard, Chueco, did his best impression of an NFL highlight reel tackle, decking the pitch invader who appeared to be trying to take a photo with the Argentina captain. Heading into the 91st minute, a man donning a number 10 Inter Miami jersey rushed onto the pitch and placed his arm around Messi. You can't do that.
Now, I will be clear, I don't think any of these were Sporting Kansas City fans. These were folks who heard that Messi was going to be close to their town for a game. They drove, obviously, the guy from Colorado, anywhere from 8 to 10 hours to get here, probably for the sole intent of running on that
field. Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid were in the audience. And Reid were in the audience for that. But no, he's been charged.
Do not invade the pitch.
You can't be doing that because players don't know if you're trying to kill him or trying to hug him.
Messi's bodyguard was a former special ops military veteran, or currently a veteran. And honestly, he's good at his job, but he needed to get there quicker because if he was trying to stab Messi...
Do you know how big that field is?
Yeah. if this guy was trying to stab Messi, he could get like four stabs in before the bodyguard got there.
All right, speaking of Mahomes, he is, yes, on the cover of the next issue of Time Magazine, talking about his place in the GOAT discussion. Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes pulled off another repeat. For the second straight year, he has landed on Time Magazine's list of the 100 most influential people in the world. And this time, he is on one of the magazine's covers.
He's amazing.
Get your copy while it's hot. I just sent my mom the link. I know she's going to be ordering one of those.
Nothing is going to beat his GQ cover, though, with the sweatpants.
Oh, no, never, ever, ever. They did ask, by the way, if there was anything that could impact his ability to be considered the best quarterback ever, and he replied, yes, his children. I've looked. If I played until Tom Brady's age, my daughter would be 19, 20 years old. I would love to play that long, he added, but at the same time, I want to be there for my daughter. 913-586-7798. You're listening to Dana and Parks, back with much more, including a guest from Hope House straight ahead. Stick with us.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did. Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.